when I come in this auditorium. Of course, I was here last year, and we didn't use this auditorium because of the COVID debacle that was going on. So we were out in the fellowship hall the whole time. But I did come back in here for a good, blessed memory response. I remember years ago, I was here with Matt Austin for the first time. And they always tease me about having much spittage. Are you with me? You know, the spit pit was right down here. And I told this story last time I was here, but there was a gal that always sat right there. I mean, she was a glutton for punishment. And I do have great expression in that area, okay? When I get done, not to be gross, but my iPad looks real bad. Y'all with me? So Lysol the pulpit when I leave. Well, what happened was I made the mistake of leaving the auditorium to make sure everything was in order. And I come back, and here's this gal sitting in front with a poncho on. I mean, from head to toe poncho. And, of course, everybody thought it was cute. I thought she was a sick woman. No, I thought it was funny, too. But that's my chuckle memory when I come. The other blessing, it's just fun to be with you. You say, Brother Maynard, come back. I have some churches that would have me come every year. Folks, I don't have that many messages. Are you with me? And I don't know if I want to work that hard to get more of them. No, I love it when I'm challenged to do as such. I just had a wonderful nostalgic run a couple of weeks ago. Back in 1992, I helped start a church plant with their first revival. And a good friend of mine, we've stayed friends very close all through our ministries together. But what happened was they were in a small little school building in a classroom. I mean, talk about close fellowship. COVID, eat your heart out. I mean, we were just like pressed in this place. Well, I did their first revival. The guy that led the music, Paul Hiscock, travels with me sometime. But what happened was they ended up going to a Methodist church type of building. It was just a good Midwest old school. Whoever designed this room had good architectural, musical understanding. With the rounded ceilings and all the acoustics in here are incredible. But what happened, we're in this old church. Guess who did their first revival in that building? Paul Hiscock and myself and his wife. Well, then they just finished a brand new building. The pastor's goal was, since 92, was we're going to build a church debt-free. And you know what? Talk about a patient guy. Talk about not letting pride get in the way of ministry endeavors. And they just finished it not more than a month ago. And it's right on the edge of town where everybody has to pass by it or going anywhere. And what happened was he put on the sign, Future Home of Faith Baptist Church. But guess what he replaced it with? Financed by the Bank of Jehovah Jireh. And then in huge print, he put debt free. He said, I was more excited about putting that sign up than I was even open to the church. And it's really a pretty church. It's more industrial than some people would like to have because they just spent in budget, which is a novel thing to do in our age and time. But what a fun time we had. I was their first dedication speaker, and then then the revival that followed. And you know what? It was just a sweet, God-honoring time. And just, again, a historic time to be a part of a ministry. That's one of the good things about being old as dirt. Y'all with me? You get to be a lot of things that start, and you see a lot of things close up. But what a blessed fellowship and time we had. Now, I'm looking forward to that even here this week. And again, I know you just show up on Sunday morning, some of you folks. Don't cheat yourself like that. Come back tonight. I know some of you farmers, it's going to be raining anyway. What else are you going to do but maybe fix a combine or a tractor or something? You know, I know it doesn't fix itself, but come and be a part of the worship time we're having together. And I guarantee it'll be blessed as we open the Word of God together. Is that big enough sales pitch? Now, one thing I don't do well, my wife reminds me of, I did bring again my recordings that I've done over the years, a fun CD, just goofy fun songs like we sang last night, and then a sacred CD, the fun one's 12, the sacred one's 14. Then the latest project I introduced to you folks last fall was the children's project that I just completed not 2 years ago, but I got shut down with COVID. So I haven't really got to do the distribution thing like I was planning on doing because everything was closed up. So I'm back in kind of a reintroduction of that particular project. I'm already into my second order as far as that product's concerned. Great ministry tool. I get videos all the time around the globe of people and their grandkids or kids singing those choruses. It's just a hoot and a holler. A lot of action songs and that sort of thing. Now, that was 25. 25? What are you talking about? You're not that good. I know that, okay? But it has a CD of 20 songs. Then the same songs that are, again, action songs, are 16 of those that are videoed, DVD. And they're kind of Blues Clues-ish for those that have already purchased. You already know what I'm talking about. And it's really, really well done. And then there's an access code for you pianists to the words and sheet music for all those songs. It's really a pretty good package. So you can get all that. That's 25 smackerolis. Now, I tell you, I'm an old used car dealer. I tell you what I'm going to do. You buy the whole package, you can have it for 50 smackerolis. How does that sound, boys and girls? I'm such a nice guy. Well, I've got a course I've been trying to teach folks, and I think I introduced this to you last year, but you helped me sing the song. Aren't you glad the guys were behind the girls during the choir number? Everybody, you know it's true. Not only are they better looking, they're also a lot better singers. And I thought it was a great choir number, but girls, you made it gooder than good. But this is, you guys can sing. We had a good time doing that. Wasn't that fun last night? Did anybody enjoy it as much as I did? The food was phenomenal. Thanks to where's our bearded cook? Yeah, back here, our hayride specialist. This guy's a multitasker, to say the least. But he's like most men, a little do a little good, a lot of do a lot of good. That's why you're having pork and pie fellowship for Thanksgiving, because we got a lot left over here, because some of you didn't show up. Nothing personal, as far as insult. But it was just really a very well-organized, fun time. There was something for everybody to do. And after we got done pigging out, we sang fun songs and stuff together like that. You guys did a great job participation. Some of you were duttified, but I won't pick on you. And you did a marvelous job, brother. Thank you. But would someone sit with him during Sunday school? I felt real bad for him. Here his wife's teaching, you know, in the classroom, and he's sitting there going, I feel like the Maytag washer guy. There's just no friends here. But it was just really, really a great time of fellowship. But, you know, we get more of that all week long. That's what's a joyous thing about a revival. Now, folks, when we weren't wimps, we'd go Sunday to Friday. Y'all with me here? You know what I had this fall? I had a Sunday to Sunday meeting. Gasp! Can anybody endure that much doctrine that long? And Mike Maynard. We had a phenomenal meeting. That was my first time there, so I had 7 clean messages to preach. Y'all with me? And it was just really well received. And these folks sang from their toenails to the top of their head. Church planting situation. But what a joyous time we had around God's Word. And you know what? Whether it's a Sunday or a Sunday to 3 weeks, you know, God's Word will impact a heart and change a life for all eternity. So I hope your memory is in working order, because your part is He's always there. Y'all remember this course? I might not have taught it. I don't have a clue. But it goes like this. Your part, again, is He's always there. Can we say it? He's always there. So I'll give you a hint. It goes like this. The Lord is there. He's always there. Okay, let's try it. The Lord is there. He's always there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. He's always there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope elude your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. He will never forsake His own. Have you got it? All right, here's how the verse goes. In this world are many people living life in despair, consumed with the thought nobody cares, forsaken, forgotten, or in brokenness of heart. When There's only, I forgot, senior moment. There's only one always there when a life falls apart. Get ready. The Lord is there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He will never forsake His own. Jesus Christ is the answer to the troubles we bear. He brings peace to our heart when life seems unfair. With things or people, disappointment life brings. When the Lord saves your soul, then you always can sing. Ready? The Lord is there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He will never forsake His own. He will never forsake His own. Good job, choir. Well, let's get our Bibles out. Let's get ready to go. Find the book of, please go to the book of Isaiah, if you would, please. I may change that here in just a moment. But let's go, no, excuse me, go to, I'll tell you in just a minute. We might get there, but I don't know if we'll have time. You know, what I found, you know, before I got here last year, and I'm even finding more so today, a lot of folks still aren't faithful to the cause of Christ. Does that sound like a common problem to Christianity? It's a bigger problem today than I've ever seen. Now, I'm going to split the church right now, so get ready for it. I've been here enough. You know I love you. I'm going to help you. How many people out here are Android people? Now, see, if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it, okay? You're past 50. How many of you people are Apple people? Show me. Oh, you people are spiritual. You people have got your acts together. I'm an Apple guy. I've got it. I preach from my iPad. Why? It's backlit and I can have huge font. Do you old people feel my pain here? I mean, you can see this, folks, from across the room. So I learned this from a preacher friend, just dogged me to death to do Apple stuff. And it's a little simpler from my perspective and observation than even an Android system. They're operating systems for technology. Well, what I found out in my young, non-experienced, brain-dead techie mindset is, you know, something wouldn't work, my phone or my iPad, and I'd get frustrated, and I was dumb enough to take it back where I bought the thing. And all they would do is what, boys and girls? Turn it off and turn it back on, and presto, change-o, fix-o, it works-o. Are y'all with me here? Now, I know that, but here's what I think needs to be done with Christianity. We need to reboot. That's what that means. Turn it off, turn it on. We need to, again, go back to the point of simple, right out, flat, on purpose, recommitment to the cause of Christ. Because, folks, I'm telling you, folks are still hiding behind COVID. People are still making excuses why they aren't faithful. Listen, not only to the local church, but unfaithful to the cause of Christ. Folks, when we do that, we are making a wrong choice. We need, according to God's word, the local church. We need more consistency of preaching, fellowship, and service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what happens? We get lazy. Did you enjoy the Church of the Lazy Boy? You know, the video presentation of the local church when we didn't have church open? Folks, I loved watching church during COVID because I was in my bed. It was so much easier to fall asleep and much more comfortable. Are you people with me here? Yeah, it really was. My wife would have to wake me up because my pastor, he had such a soothing, relaxing, just make you want to go to La La Sleepy Land, you know, in a hurry here. You won't get that with me. I throw hymnals. I'll keep you awake. You guys know me well enough. But you know what? I have a tendency, if I'm not in accountability, and again, a right thing of peer pressure. Local church is a good peer pressure. You know, you're being encouraged to be faithful. You're being encouraged by the testimony and maybe the insistence of others around you that love you enough to say, hey, you're starting to develop bad habits. You're starting to miss more than you're making as far as attendance and ministry is concerned. And folks, it's become worse and worse as COVID goes on and on. Why aren't we faithful? And let me put it this way. Why aren't we at peak performance for the cause of Christ? Because we're all lazier than a bed bug. Can I have an amen? Will you be that humble enough to admit that? We like when it's non-pressure or not that much of an interruption to my life. Folks, your life is Christ. And your secular whatever should always revolve around faithfulness to the master's business. But folks, that's not the way the flesh wants to think. And why are we so lacking in biblical performance? Because it involves stuff where we're not real eager to buy up. Like goals, discipline, accountability. Here's the cuss word that scares most Christians to death. Work. We got to do that much work. Folks, how's a farmer get it done? Hard work on purpose. But how does the work of Christ grow and produce what it's supposed to produce? Flat out, diligent, on purpose work. And you know what that involves, people? That involves the right goals. That involves discipline. That involves accountability. That involves making right choices that I'm not here for me. I'm not here for the world. It's whether I'm eating or drinking or whatsoever I'm doing. I'm here to do all to the glory of God. And folks, if you're making the decisions of right, wrong, and indifference, guess what? You'll be unfaithful because you'll gravitate to that which becomes most important to you, and it's supposed to be Jesus Christ. Do you realize how much you're hurting your family when you're not right with God? Do you understand how much you're hurting the cause of Christ in general when you again serve yourself more than serving and pleasing Jesus Christ? Folks, spiritually, it's time to reboot. And again, get back to the business at hand, the master's business, and don't just be satisfied with a little token biscuit to God every once in a while. You're treating him like some dog you don't like. He's a loving, perfect God who deserves your all, your best, all the time. Now, I told you, I enjoyed the extra time I had. You know, when I was here, I wasn't in my house yet. I'd been building a house for over 2 years. We got in there that Christmas after I was here in October. Talk about one happy camper, and I have a happy home. Happy wife, what? Happy life. And my wife just loves that I'm gone. Okay, she's just having a great time in her brand new house without me. No, we love it. We talked on Facebook all the time. It's a great time for an evangelist that has to travel by himself. I probably talk to my wife more than you talk to your wife. You know, you husbands and wives listen to me. But you know what? It's just so good how God's been so good to me. But we're in that house, so I put in a lot of work equity. With things shut down, I wasn't traveling. And the bad thing about that, no worky, no pay. You got it in my business here, what I do. But you know, it was amazing how God met our needs. I told you about that last time. You know, there was a church we were going to. It's a church about 900, I understand that. But we have three evangelists in that church at that time. A guy named John Bond. If you know fundamentalism or that fellowship, he was the big leader and dog in that. Then there was a guy named Mike Sharrock, who's balder than I am. I know that's hard to imagine, but he's the loudest guy in the world. I know I'm a mouthy punk and loud, but he I love following him because he makes me look sane. He's a wacko gourd. But he plays a trumpet, knocks the back wall out of every church, no matter the size. And there were three of us there. They took an offering for 2 weeks. You want to guess how much they gave each one of us? over $4,500. And I'm telling you, my coffers were empty, people, at that point. But isn't that our God? He says, I will provide your needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. That really carried us through the summer. Camps were shut down. You know, there wasn't money coming in from, you know, weeks of meetings here and all that stuff. But it's always to God be the glory, people. Great things He hath done. Well, what I needed at that point of, again, laziness in my Christian life was, excuse the terminology in the picture here, but a boot in my spiritual tail. Y'all understand what that means? One of these? Come on, Maynor. You know better than that. And if you're not right with God, you know better too. You just got to do better. I want you to turn to this passage. You gave the wrong reference. I was thinking of something else. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. That's where I'd like to park as far as the opening challenging verse is concerned. And I'll try to get you out of here sooner than later, but I talk too much, so I might have to do a Speedy Gonzales message here. So go to 1 Samuel and go to chapter 12 and verse 24. I'm going to do this rather quickly, so get your ears to hear on. But listen to this verse. In 1 Samuel 12:24, you know, Facebook is good sometimes for something really important. A friend of mine used this verse that challenged my heart. Here it is. It says in 1 Samuel 12:24, talk about reboot. Only fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth. How? With all your heart. Look at the last part. For consider how great things He hath done for you. People, talk about getting you in a position of peak performance. Talk about, again, a reminder of God's will for our lives. But here's the obvious thought you should be thinking about, not what you're going to have for lunch, but what is the context? How did this challenger charge come about? Well, the messenger is Samuel. I think most of you folks know that. And the message, of course, verse 24, I won't read it again. I'll read it later on. But why did they get into such a sinful mess? Well, again, sinful choosing. And folks, we sin because we choose to. Teenagers, you listening to me? You do wrong because you love yourself more than Jesus and you want to sin. Don't blame anybody but yourself. You make a choice based on what you want to do. And if you want to please Jesus, you won't go there. You won't do that. But what was the sinful mess the people of God got in trouble all about? They wanted an earthly king instead of God to be their king. Does that sound like the same problem we face today? That was Demas's problem. Having loved this present world, once faithful, then listed in the Word of God for all eternity as a guy who loved the world more than Jesus. Don't get snobby on me here. You got the same problem. That's why you're not in the local church. That's why you're not a soul winner. That's why you're not a disciple of men. You know that's the bottom line basic to glorify and honor God, but you're still not doing it, and you're justifying it because you were faithful here, but you're backslidden as a barnyard door over here. You're not at peak performance. So again, they wanted an earthly king to replace their heavenly king, God. They wanted to be like the world, and God says, okay, I'll allow this to happen, but understand there will be consequences in your choosing. And I want to show you, the command, but also the warning. Go back to our text. Look with me back again at verse 24, but hang on for the ride in verse 25. He says, only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth, with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. Here's the warning. But if ye still do wickedly, look what he says, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Is that just a warning for these people of the Israelites, you know, back here? No, folks, that's the same warning for all of us. Doesn't he say, even in the New Testament, who he loves, he will what? Chasten. What's a good parent do if their kid's rebellious? They discipline them. They need a good whooping every once in a while. I don't care what the psychologists say today. It won't do anything, but maybe it'll leave a red mark on their behind if you do it right. It's not going to warp their self-esteem. Well, I hope it does, because they're a worthless sinner. And they're worthless apart from knowing and loving and serving Jesus in a biblical way. We all are. But again, folks, there's the mic drop again. There's the boom, clear instruction and warning. Now, here's the charge for them as well as for us. I want to go through this real quickly. Look at the phrase again in verse 24. Only fear the Lord. Only means solitary. The idea above all. And folks, that's a battle for us to fear man more than fearing God? What does man think? What does man want versus what we really look to do as far as pleasing God? Fear means to reverence or be in awe concerning who God is. And folks, do you remember He's God and we ain't? God is in control whether you want to come along for the ride or not. Are you listening? He's in control. He makes no mistakes. But again, when you're not looking to Him, you don't think that way. I told him in Sunday school, it's kind of like, don't call us, we'll call you. You know what? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I don't care if you're on a tractor. I don't care if you're fixing a car. I don't care if you're out there making a meal. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Guide your thought process, your choices, your actions through biblical principles. You got a brain. Just let that brain and heart be filled with the truths of God's Word, directed by a love and care for Him. Let me give you a reminder of the consequences of fearing God versus just doing your fleshly thing. Write these down. I'm going to go like, again, speedy go here. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Psalm 11, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 14, 2 verses, 27 and 26, it's the fountain of life and strong confidence. Luke 1:50, and His mercy is on them that fear Him all the time, generation to generation. And this is a preacher's favorite verse. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Are you ready? Are you ready? You ready for this? Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. How can you get confused and misled with that kind of truth? You can't if you have ears to hear. If, again, you have a right wanter of who you're here to please and who you're here to serve. And don't give me that because you're a pillar of the assembly. I know who you people are, but you can get out of the will of God just as quick as anybody else. But are you humble enough to admit it? Would you, again, humble yourself before God and allow God to put you where He wants you to be, not where you're convinced, and here's the word, comfortable being. Now, folks, there's still more work that needs to be done even in your mind, even with your attitude, even with your performance. And are you, again, out of the habit of, again, trusting, obeying, and of doing the will of God biblically? Here's a statement. I've got it all marked here in the right way. Until we truly understand and rightly respond to who God is, ready? We will not be faithful. Simple, but simply what needs to be understood. The next thing it says, serve Him. And look what God says. Serve Him in truth. That means perfectly revealed and known. Folks, God is not playing hide and seek with His will for our lives. We're just hiding from God's will and God's word and God's instruction. We're, again, not really in much care and concern about what God is ordering up. But here's the depth. With all your heart, total devotion, undivided, your most important relationship. Ephesians chapter 6, just write it down, read it later, study it later. It's just doing the will of God from the heart. There are a lot of people out there busy in the name of serving Jesus, but they're not serving Him in truth. You're here when the doors are open. You're here maybe out of the insistence of your mom and dad, or your wife, or maybe that insistent bully husband of yours. I'm not pointing, I'm not giving a reference again. Pastor Greg and I don't have time to talk about you people. We love talking about ourselves. So listen very carefully. A lot of people are Martha people, but they're not biblical in their Martha procedures. Remember, Martha was a get-her-done gal? But again, folks, is God directing, or you just taking charge because that's the way you're wired? Let me give you some verses about with all your heart, the depth and devotion. Deuteronomy 10:12, write that down. It says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 11:13, same thing. Serve Him with all your heart. Now, if you're anywhere close to a Bible student or you care enough to know what God's Word's all about, you're going to remember this reference because it's in Mark, Matthew, and even in Luke. And I'm going to read from Luke 10:27. It says, and He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And how about this one? And thy neighbors thyself? Why'd he throw that in here? Because you're not going to minister unto others until you get right with God. That's what it's dealing with. You're going to say they're a bother instead of a blessed opportunity. That's why we're not soul winners. That's why we're not disciplers. Because again, you're not right with God in your relationship. Oh, I'm saved. Okay, I hope so. But are you at peak performance saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done? Are you more in love with the world and your own fleshly choosing than you are the will and working of God? So again, the devotions with all your heart, and let me add, all the time. I don't think the problem is understanding how much we're to love the Lord. I don't think that's a problem with anybody in this room. But I think it is how much we really, really, truly love the Lord. And God knows that's a problem for all of us. That's why he says in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Folks, I struggle with it. You know what? I'm driving a Dodge. Are you people with me? You know, what a cheap shot that is to life. Pastor thinks it's a good choice. He's a Mopar guy. I grew up a Ford kid. But I tell you right now, if I afford it, I'd have a brand new GMC with that real cool looking tailgate. Have you seen those things? Man, I'd be the big dog in town. I'd have air conditioned leather seats and the heater seats. I mean, I'd have every bell and whistle known on that kind. But that ain't in the budget. Y'all with me? That's why I'm driving a Dodge. They can't get rid of them, so they sell them real cheap. But I just say that to irritate the pastor. It's really a very nice truck, but it's the plain Jane of life. So again, folks, there's always a battle in our flesh to love the things of the world. Grandkids? Just things in general? Some of you love your church more than you love Jesus. Happens in every church I go to. And you've got a great church. I was bragging on it today to pastor. Just a welcoming, sharp, clean, nice facility. But some people think this belongs to them. I don't care how much money you poured into, this still belongs to Jesus Christ. And how dare we take possession of that which belongs to Him? Did you do it for Him or for the attention and accolades of the people around you? Oh, how backslidden are you? This belongs to Jesus Christ, and so does anything else you have or anything else you'll get. See, if you're not right with God, you don't think that way. And that's why you respond carnally instead of in a Christ-like fashion when things get awry or things, again, get a pothole in life. So the last thing here, God says, don't forget me. The pastor gave me a time. I can tell only a layman would put a clock on the wall right there. You know, for just so much pastor doesn't mess up and, again, cause us to be late for our lunch endeavors. You carnal people. All right, so again, look back at our passage. I got going real quick here. Go back to 1 Samuel. Let me get back there too. Go to chapter 12, and here's the last phrase. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Now, folks, I don't know if I've preached this particular phrase before. I might have, because I did on appreciating God. It was the last message I did here last year. But here's the whole phrase. What we forget, we fail to appreciate. What we fail to appreciate, we fail to value. What we fail to value, listen carefully, we will not give our lives unto. Isn't that good? Let me do it again. What we forget, we fail to appreciate. What we fail to appreciate, we fail to value. What we fail to value, we will not give our lives to. That's why you're out there in the fields more than you are in the local church. I want you to be in the fields. I want you to be faithful at your job. I want you to be very good at your academics, but not at the expense of unfaithfulness to the will and working of God and service in and through a local church. I don't know why people don't catch on to that. I think it's because they're not looking to catch it. They really are not that caring about faithfulness to God's Word and God's working. And I'm not picking on you people. I preach this same message in every church because it's a problem in every church I go to. We get our priorities all bent out of shape. Memory loss is a reality. I told the folks even in Sunday school, maybe it was Sunday school last night, you know, I'm thankful for driver's licenses that have pictures on them. Y'all with me? At my age and stage of life, and it even has the address on it, boys and girls, so you can find your way home with GPS if you can work it. Y'all with me? How good God is to us. But you know what? Memory loss is a problem for believers. How about the children of God in the Old Testament? How many times do we see this progression? They forgot God. Look at me. They forsook God. And what happens? You follow other gods. And these aren't a bad thing. You've got to work. But when that becomes your priority, your first place endeavor, that becomes an idol. That becomes that. Love your grandkids. You know why I have not shown you pictures of my grandkids? Because you'll see how you were cheated. Okay? I mean, I don't even show them in pastors. He's got the ugliest grandkids I have ever seen in my life. Now, they're normal, okay, but they're not near as charming and near perfect looking like their grandpa as they do. You know, love your grandkids, but not more than you love your Jesus. Love your mate, but not more than you love your Jesus. Love your bank account, but support your local evangelist. Okay, that's all I'm saying. You know, you with me on all that? There's nothing wrong with the things of the world if they're not sinful things. But those things become sinful because you love them and your life revolves that, them or those, more than Jesus Christ. That's where that even good stuff becomes so detrimental and hurtful to you in the cause of Jesus Christ. Again, they forgot, they forsook and followed other gods. Are you there? You forgot how God saved your soul, didn't you? Remember how excited you were? You forgot how God has blessed the ever-loving sandals or shoes off your feet, or work boots for most of you. You know, you've just been blessed beyond, I mean, even the thought of goodness of God. But you forget how good God is. Then you start looking somewhere else and you start being hit and miss to church, hit and miss to service and ministry. And before you know it, you're not even in church any longer. You know, I've seen a lot of that in 30 years. I get back to a church like this, I go, where are they now? Oh, Mike, they're divorced now, you know, or they go to some dance church, some liberal fluff and puff ministry because they just don't want to have that much Bible. They want the world more than they love Jesus. You know how many times I've heard that sad story? More than I'd like to even give time or effort to. But here's the thing, I don't want that to happen to any of you, but it will. And for some of you, it probably is already in start-and-go mode. Stop the bleeding. Stop, again, the wrong fleshly choosing from proceeding and bringing destruction like the devil wants it to take place. You know priorities aren't in line. You know you're not at peak performance in the will and working of God. Money, you in comfort zone, you in doing your own thing, has become more important than pleasing and honoring our God. Here's how to fix that forgetfulness. Last passage. I'm not going to have you turn because we're out of time. Hebrews 13:15. Let me read it for you. You know the verse. By Him, Jesus. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God. How often, people? Continually. Now, kids, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box. Young man, do you understand me? You know, you look like an intellectual guy. Maybe I'm deceived. I know your family heritage. I know you have struggles with life. Just look around the people that you're, you know, impacted by. But, you know, I've learned that continually means continually. Smart, huh? Huh? You got that? But you know what? Most people aren't smart enough to know that and show that. If you're constantly praising God, guess who you're thinking about all the time? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And folks, I don't care if you're on the high end of income level or the lower end, God is still so good to you. Even the poorest people in America are richer than most people around the world. I've been there and seen that. And we growl and complain about God's goodness to us. And we don't, again, seek to be faithful with all the faithfulness that God has given us and continues to give, not because of His people, just because He loves us. And He loves us unconditionally. Whatever we fill our brains and hearts with, that will be the controlling factor of life. People, like I've never seen it, look at me, this is you. It's time to reboot. We need to be back at peak performance. But let's use 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24 as a spiritual tailbooter as such, as a motivator of right choosing. One more time. Only fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth. How? The only way it works. With all your heart. And don't forget the goodness of God. For consider how great things, take this personally, He hath done for you. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. You know, I've done camp work and church work long enough to be conscious of the clock. I try not to be overly have bondage with that, or I want to get what's needing to be done, but I'm going to keep it pretty close here this morning. I want you to come back tonight. And I'm not going to go for 4 hours tonight. You know I'm not that long a preacher. But listen to me carefully. I went long enough for you to catch the message God wanted you to have. It's time to reboot. So this morning you may need to come down here and just say, God, forgive me for being in forgetful mode of how good you are. And say, God, don't let me get in the flesh and be unfaithful. Don't let me get in the flesh and forget how you've been so good to me and to my family. God, don't let me lose the wow of the wonder of it all. And some of you have thrown that aside. Would you ask God's forgiveness? Would you fall on your face humbly before God, whether it's at the old-fashioned altar or just maybe sitting here on the front row, but move when God says move and quit running a life that belongs to Him? Nothing magical, nothing mystical about an altar call, but something very impacting about leaving your comfort zone, yielding unashamed in a public ministry fashion to God's working in your heart, and just saying, God, work me over. Do what's needed in my best for me so I can give my all and best what's needed for your honor and your glory. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? We're not going to have any singing here this morning. I'm just going to have our instruments play the hymn of choice that they'll play on the invitation. I want our pastors to be down or ready and available to minister as needed. But folks, whether you're a visitor or, again, a church member, if God's worked in your heart, don't you dare bypass what He wants to do in your heart today. Now, if you can't physically respond, just sit there at your seat and have a glory hallelujah time between you and God. But don't miss the privilege of responding in obedience to God's working in your heart. Heavenly Father, help us now as we have this message, this challenge, a much needed message and challenge, not just here, but around this globe. Lord, don't let us again get in the habit of making excuses as far as faithfulness is concerned. And Lord, they know what needs to be done. I know this crowd. I know, Lord, the potential. I know, Lord, the need of the surrounding area that needs a consistent testimony of biblical life and living. I know every family needs that. But Lord, as a family unit, make an impact to a world that has no clue. We got a job to do. And Lord, if we're not at peak performance, we're not going to produce what you would have done. Lord, save that one that's lost here today and help us as believers to be tender, setting the pace of yielded response even here this morning. Help us, Lord, as we have this invitation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, again, pastors available, counseling, altar, God most certainly is looking to do a work in your heart. Let me encourage you to come as our instruments play.